When you die, it ain't going with you. As somebody said, when last you saw a U-Haul behind the hearse?
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, in the first part of this message from his continuing series through the book of the Acts, Pastor Brian Grant took us along on Paul's second missionary journey to witness how the gospel showed its power to break down strongholds of satanic power, how it has power to stand up to intense scrutiny, and how it has power to save elites of society and common folk alike. In the second part of his message that we will hear this week, Pastor Grant continues Paul's journey, describing how the gospel demonstrated its power to bring deliverance even in the very seat of Satan's kingdom. Turn with us now to Acts 18 and listen as Pastor Grant speaks of three important lessons from Corinth in this second part of his message entitled, Power of the Gospel. Once again, here's Pastor Grant.
It all stays here. But I'm so glad that it's possible for us to lay up treasure somewhere else. Somebody say amen. Amen. Eternal treasure. No moth or rust can corrupt. This morning I hope, as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you are laying up treasure in heaven. And one of the ways to lay up treasure in heaven is to throw out the lifeline and the power of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God speaks to you and he speaks to me. And he says, be brave. Because it's because we are such. What word do you want me to use? We are such cowards. We got the most powerful weapon in the world. The Jehovah's going knocking on everybody's door with a message, hoping that they will, because you know, they tell you, the Jehovah's Witness will tell you, heaven is already full. Did you know that? Heaven is full. So my goodness, they can't even offer you a seat in heaven. And they are offering that message. And we have a message of hope that there's a home in heaven. That Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a message we got. What hope we have in Jesus. Listen, this is bondage breaking stuff. This message is for the person with strongholds. This message is for the person who is this educational, sophisticated philosopher. This message is for that rich, big shot elite. But fourthly, this message, this gospel is able to transform the depraved. This message is able to transform the depraved. And so here we now are in Corinth. In about 46 BC, this city in Greece was rebuilt by Julius Caesar. It had three harbors and was strategically located in a prominent north-south trade route. It therefore became a major center for international trade. Merchants from all over the world were flocking to Corinth because it was such an important trading spot. But Corinth, don't miss this now, Corinth was also known around the world as Sin City. It was a city without moral roots. On one of its hills was the great temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. Now, I hope you don't miss this. Included in the worship were the sexual services of 1,000 priestesses who were sacred prostitutes. Corinth was a place where sex was practically a religion, where every imaginable sin and vice was celebrated openly. To Corinthianize a man was to corrupt him and to take him beyond his moral limits. But guess what? Men were flocking into Corinth. Men were flocking into Corinth to be Corinthianized. They were quite willing to be taken beyond their moral limits, because what happened in Corinth stayed in Corinth. This was a city without limits, a city with no inhibitions, a city with no concern about morality, a city with no concern about God's law. This was a place of great depravity. But in Acts 18, Paul shows up in Corinth. God had put Paul in the middle of Satan's kingdom. But Paul didn't come empty-handed. Paul came with the gospel. I want you to notice three things here from this visit to Corinth, this city of great depravity. I don't want you to miss three things as I try to bring this message and tie it up. Number one, Satan's kingdom cannot prevail against the gospel. Don't miss that. Satan's kingdom cannot prevail against the gospel. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 18, verse 5. And obviously, you know, I'm going to have to talk. Okay, verse number 5, I'll say something later. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood is on your own head. I'm clear of my responsibility. From now on, I'm going to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believe in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Paul had come to the center of Satan's territory, and people were getting saved because of the power of the gospel. Oh, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say at Caesarea Philippi? Jesus had said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of what? The gates of hell will not what? Will not prevail against it." Listen, I want you to realize that what Jesus was saying is that hell, the gates of hell, is trying to stop the force of the gospel. And he's saying, listen, the gate of hell won't be able to protect itself. It's time the church get off of the defense. It's time the church got on the offense. And this morning, young person, older person, God is challenging you to get off of your behind. I could have used another word. He's challenging us to get up and be brave. The gates of hell cannot prevail. You say, "Brother Brian, you don't know what Philly is like." Listen, Philly is nothing like Corinth. And so God takes Paul to the most depraved city on the entire planet in his generation, the most depraved city, and he sets him there and he lets him preach the gospel, and people start getting saved. My, are you starting to understand why B. Samhart used to say we cannot witness to the wrong person? Because whether they're rich, whether they're sophisticated, whether they're in a stronghold, whether they're depraved and in rotten sin, it doesn't matter. This gospel message is able to transform people's lives. Listen, I am so glad to have the privilege of preaching this gospel. But secondly, the gospel can justify the greatest sinner. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold on to your spot though in Acts, because you know we're coming back there. But jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because I want you to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, who were these people who were getting saved? Who were these folks who was getting saved? All them Corinthians who were getting saved. Are you at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6? If you were there, say amen. That was a weak amen. Here's what Paul says. So this is about 2 years later. About 2 years later, Paul now writes to the church at Corinth. And here's what he says. He's writing from Ephesus, and we'll get there in a couple weeks where he's in Ephesus, and he writes from Ephesus back to the church at Corinth, and he says, do you not know, in verse number 9, that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Man, he's listing some stuff here. But remember now, he's talking to some Corinthians. They knew what it was. They knew how to do their misbehavior. He says, listen, neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters, the adulterers, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the thieves, the greedy, the drunkard, the slander, the swindler. He says, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But thank God the story doesn't end there. He says in verse 11, and that is what some of you were. You see, sometimes we get this idea, folks come and they say, so many good people are in the church. I don't want to join because I don't want to mess it up. Listen, you see who was in the church? You see, but he moved on. But, hallelujah, what a but. That's a big but. You see, this part is important, you know. Because, listen, friend, if you are in that category and this but hasn't taken place, you're still on your road to hell. You see what he says? He says, all these folks can't make it to heaven. But you were like that. But now you have been washed. They came as sinners, and they came to the foot of the cross, and they said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And he washed them. And my friend, listen, it doesn't matter what you have done. Your history doesn't matter. Your profile, the police may have a big fat dossier on you. But I want you to know, no matter what your record is, Jesus Christ can cleanse you. He can wash you if you would come to the foot of the cross. And I want to ask you, have you come there yet? Have you come to Jesus and ask him to save you and to cleanse you? If you come, he will wash you. But not only that, he will sanctify you. Make sure you're here to hear about this sanctification and how God sanctifies us and the progressive sanctification. I can't deal with that right now.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
He says, but you were justified. You understand what justified means? Justified means that God has declared us righteous. God has declared us righteous. He has made us just as if we'd never sinned. So after he gives them this big, fat, ugly resume, he says, but you are washed. You are justified. And I have good news for you, young lady, young man. Listen, older person, if you come to Jesus today, he will justify you. He will declare you righteous no matter what you have done. Your family may have written you off because of your mess that you have done, but Jesus is going to wash you clean. But third, because time has run out on me, God gives encouragement to soul winners. God gives encouragement to soul winners. And so here we are in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verse number 9 and 10. Acts 18, 9 and 10. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half in Corinth, teaching them the word of God. This great apostle Paul was human, and God knew that at this point he needed a word of encouragement. And so Paul says to Paul, he says, don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. And I believe that is God's word for the church today, that God is saying, do not be afraid. In other words, he's saying GCA, and he's not just talking to the church entirely. He's speaking to you. He's coming right to your pew. He's coming right to your bench. He's coming to your seat, and he is saying, do not be afraid. In other words, he's saying, be brave. Be brave. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Young person, God is saying, at school, on the college campus, keep on speaking. He's saying to those of us who work, on the job, keep on speaking. He's saying, listen, with our families and our neighbors and relatives who have no use for Jesus, and you have given up because you're saying they too bad. He's saying, keep on speaking, because this gospel has unlimited power. No wonder the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. A man came out of the sanctuary and ran into the pastor in the lobby. The pastor pulled him aside and asked, are you ready to join the Lord's army? The man replied, Pastor, I'm already in the Lord's army. The pastor said, and how come I only see you at Christmas and Easter? The man whispered back, I'm in the secret service. As I close, God has enough members of the secret service. All the Secret Service jobs have been taken. So God asks you, 2016, can I count on you? Will you be brave? Will you be brave? Will you be brave? No matter who the person is, this gospel, it's not you. You see, sometimes you say, I'm not persuasive enough. And God is not asking you to be persuasive. Sometimes we get this idea that people get saved because somebody was persuasive. Nobody gets saved because you were persuasive. You get saved because of the power of the Spirit and the power of the gospel. And all God is asking for is a willing vessel. A vessel who would say, Lord, I'm available to you. Are you available? But as I close, let me give up. Patient to the person. Deep in your heart, you're not satisfied that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're not saved, if you land in hell, it's your fault. Because God has made it clear this morning that no matter what you have done, He is willing to save your soul. The Spirit of God has made it clear that it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter the size of your bank account. All it matters is whether you're willing to come to Jesus and admit that you're a sinner and you're in need of His salvation. Repent of your sin and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Listen. If you haven't done it yet, you need to do it now. Whether you're a child, a teenager, an adult, you need to do it now. While the opportunity is available, the door to heaven, the door to salvation is open. Will you say yes to Jesus today?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.